Okay, now, Ryan, you received a message from a friend this afternoon involving the Denison Armory, that's at Shepherd in the Allen, and the Canadian Forces College on Wilson. Let's start with that. What did the message entail?
Message, basically, it's somebody who does contract work for a couple of these buildings. It was saying that there was nobody let in, nobody let out. It was sort of a lockdown situation.
Okay, so we put in a call to police. They had not heard of anything. They had no details for us, but confirmation during the past hour by the Department of National Defense, military facilities in the GTA were under lockdown this afternoon. Someone had made a threat. Now, a suspect has been arrested in London, Ontario. Lockdown was lifted around 4. The all clear was sounded. But we have no other details at this point as far as what did that threat entail. Were military personnel at any sort of risk? Was it the sort of threats we always hear about when it comes to schools and other facilities? They're quite often, 99% of the time, empty threats. So we'll wait to get more information. Who's the individual arrested? What charges do they face? But we'll collect that information when we can.
Yeah, and I started doing some digging around on this with some people I know that have been in this building and been in these buildings. And apparently it's quite common for these threats to occur, but they don't frequently get to the issue of lockdown. It doesn't happen like that. It's not as common as it would seem there.
Yeah, and I wonder why then. I mean, was there some justification? Was there some aspect to this that it seemed it was legitimate, maybe? But as I said, all we know, that's one person arrested, London, Ontario. Yep, the military facilities were under lockdown, but that's been all cleared now, and someone is in custody.
Yeah, it's really in London, which is interesting. Yeah. That's not exactly right down the street.
No, and to target places in the GTA. But I guess we've seen it in the past. I mean, yeah. We had that one, the alleged terrorist. You remember the taxi cab? With the explosion, the talk was they were headed this direction.
Yep, so we will, of course, continue to keep an eye on that.
Yes, very much so.
The big story that has separated the two of us today, myself and Jay, why we're not talking to one another, is vaping.
And also from London, Ontario. So we've been bothering Health Canada for weeks now. Are there any cases of severe respiratory illnesses involving vaping, like we've seen in the U.S.? Week after week, the answer has been no until today. News broke. A high school-aged kid from the London, Ontario region was in the hospital.
They had quite a severe illness course, including ICU life support. The individual recovered and is now at home.
That's the medical officer of health in London. Officials are not releasing the gender. No clue why, how that would make any difference to say he or her. They say e-cigarette use appears to be the cause.
There was no other cause, no infectious cause. No hint of any neoplasm cancer, no other immune-related issues. The only issue that was identified was that the individual vaped e-cigarettes.
Were they using Juul? Question they might ask, which they did. No answers. They're not releasing any brand information. Probably don't want to get themselves in trouble. Medical officer says he's heard of cases in the U.S. that involves both THC use and non-THC use. So it's really hard to just pinpoint it to one thing. In fact, they still do not know what it is about e-cigarettes that's causing this. This is the frustrating part. Now, of course, we've had reports, speculation from vape specialists that it has something to do with vitamin E that has been added to some of these oils. But that really hasn't been confirmed. Ontario's health minister, meantime, telling the Jerry Agar show today, she's told the hospitals, let the ministry know about any vaping-related cases.
I am making an order under the Health Protection and Promotion Act, which will require hospitals to provide our Chief Medical Officer of Health with statistical information, not personal information, but about the incidence of vaping-related severe pulmonary disease.
Christine Elliott says she's become increasingly concerned about the prevalence and possible health consequences of vaping. And it's kind of interesting to see that she comes out with this announcement, and then a few hours later, we have our first case. So I'm sure she was tipped off that the announcement was about to be made, that the individual's already out of the hospital after being in the ICU. So you can imagine the different levels that knew that this case existed, well, when the youngster was in the hospital.
Yeah. Listen, everything seems fine with vaping. I don't know why anybody would be concerned, right, Jay? Why would you even look into these products? They're all good. Everybody's giving them the green light. So
would you like to see, as my friend Ryan, would like to see everything yanked off the shelves until we know what's going on? Or would you like to see the free market continue to be the free market and we look into black market?
Ryan's usually the free market guy.
I know. Bit of a flip-flop today.
It's not a flip-flop when we already have a governing body that is here to regulate these type of things. Those regulations exist whether I like it or not.
Well, we have a story coming up about Zantac later on that is in somewhat in line, that they're talking about carcinogens. They've suspended, halted production. There is an aspect of if this was a regular e-cigarette user, we don't know the age, teenaged, that obviously something happened. I mean, maybe there's some aspect of they need to do more study.
So the hospital knows, right?
I guarantee you
the kid told the doctor. I guarantee you that kid's parent said, well, tell me exactly what you're vaping.
Oh, they know that part of it, sure.
So there you go. So we do have some information so we can start to put together the stats right away as to whether it was a Vype or whether it was a Juul or whether it was illegal.
You heard the health minister. We're just going to wait till more people get sick and figure it out from there.
I wonder if they're not mentioning, because they wouldn't talk about, I always want to say THC. Use. They didn't really refer to that. So that's the other aspect I wonder as well. Are we back to what we've heard about oils and there's additives, there's contaminants? They sort of glazed over that aspect, just kept talking about, well, a regular e-cigarette user. Well, that may also be someone who's getting high every day off of a product that's taken from the black market that's dangerous.
Also, if you have someone spending, $250 million on billboards in your province, you can't just yank them down.
Well, there's
repercussions
the
for that.
It's funny. We're not going to mention brands. Yeah, they're
big
terrified
business
of
runs
being
the country,
sued. Yeah.
Right?
Whose side are you on today? Now you're arguing against yourself. So confused.
I like this, Jay.
He's an acquired taste. What's going on with General Motors?
Well, 1,200 employees at GM's pickup assembly line in Oshawa, they've been told to go home. There's no work for you. Now, blame a lack of parts. It's due to the strike by nearly 50,000 GM workers in the U.S. The layoffs, they are temporary. If you ignore the whole part about the plant is closing for good in December, but they still get paid. That's despite being sent home. Why?
Because of GM's decision to cease production by the end of the year, they have to give their workers 16 weeks' notice. So the fact that they're being sent home, they'll still receive their full pay, or else GM would have to reissue the 16 weeks' notice all over again.
Union expects up to 3,500 members, so we're at about 1,200 right now. There's talk of 650 to come, possibly tomorrow, but up to 3,500 members in this province will be laid off the job by the end of this week. Around 6,000 by the end of next week. Now, that doesn't mean everyone's going to get paid, because once again, that's part of their contract, the aspect of 16-week paid, so they have to pay them because they're closing in December. For the others, they have to apply for EI, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get it. So you really might have some GM workers in this province who are left scrambling to find a way to make ends meet due to this massive strike in
the
U.S.
Do we know what the number breakdown is, though, from those who are going to get paid versus those who aren't?
No, I don't. It seems that pay focuses entirely on Oshawa, once again, because of that 16-week rule. And then you're talking about St. Catharines and Ingersoll, where they're more dealing with, they'd have to go for EI.
Okay. So the people in Oshawa are going to get paid for not working.
Yeah, essentially because they're coming to the end of the line.
Okay.
So they have those 16 weeks, which, 4 months? Takes you through that period of the closure in December. So they have to be paid. He says, otherwise, as he said, they'd have to start the 16 weeks all over again. And they're not going to do that. So they're going to continue to pay them. So for them, it's funny, Ingersoll, St. Catharines, obviously you feel horrible for them and what they're facing right now in the prospect. For the people in Oshawa, I could care less.
That's what I've been saying all afternoon. I'm like, okay, you're going to pay people to not do their job and sit at home?
We're losing our job. Right. Consider this a last little bit. Yeah, don't have to work for my money before you stick it to me.
Well, extra vacation pay.
Yeah, they got a perfect week for it. For those individuals, it's gorgeous outside this week. It's like, great.
Yeah, I mean, the other people I feel for, obviously, those are people who are legitimately out of work.
And EI, right, is never, 60%, 70%? I'm not even sure how the percentages work, but it's not full pay.
What's going on the old campaign trail, Dave?
Well, let's check in on the old federal election campaign trail. Justin Trudeau says a second-term Liberal government would increase old age security by about $730.
That a re-elected Liberal government will increase old age security by an extra 10% once folks turn 75.
Andrew Scheer says a Conservative government would save $1.5 billion per year by eliminating federal programs where the money benefits corporations rather than protecting your job.
We'll cancel handouts to wealthy corporate executives, shareholders, and foreign companies so that your morning bus commute will cost you a little less, so that hockey registration and dance lessons for the kids will be more affordable.
See, I'm just like you. NDP leader Jagmeet Singh is promising to extend full public dental coverage to people who earn less than $70,000 a year.
We're delivering a federal government insurance plan to cover those Canadians who have no coverage. That is an immediate plan that will immediately lift 4.3 million people out of the position where they have no public or private insurance.
Okay, thoughts? Feedback?
Yeah. Let me start with this whole Andrew Scheer. This is going to make your bus ride cheaper.
I don't even
Could
know.
Somebody under, like,
he's relatable. Obsessed with the bus.
He's dating on the bus.
His whole family's been taking the bus to and from work.
They always do it, though. That's the joke, right? That's the one of Trudeau, right, where he's on the bus. It's like, I'm just like you, even though I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, and I just don't understand the correlation between this and taking the bus more. First of all, transit is a municipal issue. It's got a provincial, involvement as well. But what the hell does that have to do with you making it? No one's going to make the bus cheaper. Like, Andrew Scheer's not going to get into government, and the city of Toronto's going to say, well, we're going to decrease the price of the TTC.
Because he stopped giving $1.5 billion to federal programs where it benefits corporations.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I like the idea. Yeah, protect jobs. Don't worry so much about sucking up to the corporations, but I don't know the correlation.
As far as Justin Trudeau, yeah, I mean, again, it sounds good. I don't know, Dave. You get these stories come across your desk just like they do ours. Does this all just seem like a bunch of hocus-pocus nonsense? Because none of this is actually going to happen.
Yeah.
We're at the point now, and I know you've covered many elections. I've covered many elections. Jay's covered a few elections here. We're at the point now where this is not what it used to be. Like, it used to have some resonance to it, some meaning to it. This just feels like a whole bunch of Harry Potter's sorcery book.
They do throw out a lot. They do throw out a lot of stuff. And you know, the prime example he always mentioned is we're going to balance the budget, which was total nonsense. And that was a promise that wasn't fulfilled. But they do throw a lot of stuff, see what sticks. It'd be interesting, actually, and I'm surprised maybe some of the publications have done this, is to go through and see, okay, here were all the promises. Here were 20 of them, the top 20. How many were met?
We were talking about that today.
Yeah.
Like, as you get closer and closer to the vote, everything gets a line-by-line read, and then you can discern through the info and say, okay, this is possible for this party. That's possible for that party. That might be possible for this one. And see just how many of those promises could actually happen. Because my favorite ones are we promised to make it happen in 10 years. It's like, okay, well, you've never been in the majority party yet you think you're going to get in and then last 10 years. Interesting.
Two and a half more terms.
Might as well promise me my own planet.
Yeah, it's like anything the Green Party says. You always say, whatever.
Exactly.
You have two members.
Well, and I guess just what irritates me is the lack of big idea. Like, none of these people are talking about big ideas and nothing revolutionary.
Like, we've talked about gun control, affordable housing. How are you going to fix this and convince us that that's going to work?
Yeah, instead we get kind of...
Well, it's trying to buy you off. $730 for seniors, right? So there's a lot of people over 75. I mean, I try to think of my father in that scenario. Would he suddenly say, okay, $730 extra? That's a nice little amount of money. Would I then vote Liberal? Probably
but
not.
None of this is changing the face of the country.
No.
Or really dealing with what's plaguing us.
It's all Band-Aid. It's all, what would the phrase, punting it forward. Everything's just punted forward and somebody else deals
with
it.
Yeah, nobody's talking about anything that isn't deemed to be sexy as well. I was interviewing a doctor today for a podcast for Haven, who has an organization called Peach, and they work specifically with palliative care. And we were talking about the fact that within his group, within the healthcare profession, they're amazed just how little mental health is talked about by the major parties. Because it's not sexy.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to talk about the homeless. They're not voting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, about talk about mental health. It's just not sexy. Yeah. But, oh, yeah, dental care for you, for sure.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like the city, too, right? Nobody wants to say, well, we need to tear up all the roads and fix the water mains because that'll be great for the city for the next 50 to 75 years. They don't want to have, you're right. They want to say, here's money for seniors. Oh, free dental coverage. We'll buy you off in small little bits and bites.
Yeah, it's the small stuff. I think that's what it is. I feel instead of reaching into my pocket and grabbing, you know, my election pocket and grabbing a crisp $100 bill, I feel like I'm just digging in and just change.
Yeah.
It's just change, like unnecessary, useless change.
I love what you said off the top of the show today. Ryan said, did the whole, here's your election roundup. And then he stopped and he went, just vote for whoever you like.
Do whatever you want.
I said to him, it sounded like a dad at the end of the day when he got home, and he just cracks that beer, and he's like, I don't care.
Whatever.
I don't care.
All right, more from the whatever train. Dave McKee and his views on the news continue in moments.
6:16.
Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. This is one hell of a wild story.
Yeah, it's starting to turn. So we had this story since July. It's when an American Airlines mechanic allegedly tried to sabotage a Boeing 737 in Miami that was set to transport 150 passengers and crew. Told authorities it was about an ongoing labor negotiation, that it was jeopardizing his chances at earning overtime. So he just wanted overtime. But that might be a lie. It might be exactly what you think it was. Terrorism. federal judge has cited new evidence of potential terrorism sympathies in denying bail for this individual today. New evidence presented by prosecutors includes that the mechanic's brother in Iraq may be involved with ISIS, plus statements he made about wishing Allah would use divine powers to harm non-Muslims. Judge says, yeah, you may be very sympathetic to terrorists, or might actually be one. He's worked as an airline mechanic for 30 years, no prior criminal record. He allegedly told the FBI, out of my evil side, I wanted to do something. Aircraft did not take off. A sensor actually alerted the pilot to the issue. It was within the nose section of the plane. He put something in there. Apparently, it was like styrofoam that throws off all the guidance and sort of what speed they are, what level they're at. Potentially could have caused a crash, but it never actually took off. Thank God the sensor worked. And now he's behind bars.
Yeah, you're right. Like, thank God for technology in this situation where it basically says, nope, sorry, we got a problem here. We're not taking off. Okay, thank you, little computer with the blinking button. Appreciate it. Secondly, I mean, 30 years this guy's been with the airline. It's not, what do you do in that situation? If somebody's feelings, if we do go down the road of terrorism, and, you know, you talk about there was a video on his phone and what have you, an Al-Qaeda sympathetic video on his phone. What do you do? How do you figure that out?
Yeah, because you don't know what's underneath the surface for so many individuals. Sure, they no criminal record, 30 years with the company. But what is simmering underneath there that eventually he decided that it was, as he said, out of my evil side, I wanted to do something. He finally crossed over that line and allegedly, possibly, maybe was planning a terrorist attack.
Yeah, because, again, these are the people with great access to the airplanes, you know, not only just baggage handlers, but mechanics. If you know, a little thing here and there, and next thing you know, we're talking about carnage based on somebody who at some point converted to some pretty bad things.
Yeah, 30 years in. I mean, it's not like it was two and he just had his background check or something. No, he's established.
Got to be gone.
Gone.
What's going on with the GO station?
You leave your car at the GO station because who wants to drive from Oakville every morning, all that traffic, and some dude steals your tires. So we found out that thefts were happening over a three-week period starting on August 21st along the GO Lakeshore West corridor. The tires, the rims, they were being stolen. People are returning back to the lot. What do they find? Their vehicle's up on cement blocks. Reminds me of like an old movie about Detroit or something like that. Alton police searched a home in Brantford this morning, seized a vehicle that he was allegedly using, arrested a 29-year-old guy, faces more than 40 charges, 13 counts of theft under $5,000. And my favorite that demonstrates how much he learned from his previous incarceration, breach of probation.
Ah.
15 counts of that.
Why is that your favorite?
I always love that one because it just shows that our justice system fails us every time.
The old revolving door.
Yeah.
Hey, you again. What's going on with Zantac?
Yeah, if you use any of the generic versions of Zantac, the heartburn medication, you better stock up or stop using it if you're worried. Worldwide distribution has been halted. There are concerns about a potential carcinogen that's been detected in the drug. Now, Health Canada says the stop distribution request is an interim precautionary measure as it gathers more information and consults with international health regulators. So it's up to you. You have some in your medicine cabinet. Once again, generic versions of Zantac, whether you still want to use it, but the distribution's been halted right now.
How dare they, right, Jay?
Get rid of the Zantac?
No, how dare they put any warnings out there?
Oh, stop it.
I mean, they've got a business, the folks at Zantac.
So that's
if it's killing people, it's your choice.
It's a warning. A warning's enough. It's your choice. Maybe I want to stick with Zantac.
I want extra carcinogen.
Maybe I want to roll the dice.
And again, it's not all of it. We should underscore that. So that's an important warning from Health Canada.
Zantac on my steak.
In all seriousness, Backstreet Boys story.
This is crazy. Yeah. So any fans of the Backstreet Boys, Nick Carter's relationship with his brother Aaron has deteriorated to the point he's obtained a restraining order. Allegations are Aaron Carter told his sister he has thoughts of killing babies and specifically mentioned killing Nick's pregnant wife. In the court filing, Nick explains he needs the court-ordered protection from Aaron because he's afraid Aaron will listen to the voices in his head and cause harm to his family. Aaron has battled substance abuse, says he's bipolar, schizophrenic. He responded to the restraining order with a tweet, "Take care, Nick Carter. We're done for life."
Jeez, that's ominous.
When you read the details of what he was telling the sister and even about his own ex-girlfriend, how, you know, you're next on the list, but we're also talking about somebody who maybe had the substance abuse issues, so there's obviously, there are other things at play here, but that's to the point where restraining order.
I co-hosted an award show with him when he was 9.
I was just about to ask you.
Of course I worked with him. And he was a much different guy then. A lot easier to get along with.
Didn't want to kill babies?
Very sweet. But for a lot of people, what happens, we saw this with Britney Spears, heavy drug use can trigger schizophrenia, can trigger bipolar because it lies dormant in your brain. For Britney Spears, it was ecstasy.
Really?
And which is why we still see her father controlling her money. And when you see her in videos now from Vegas, she has that glazed, I'm a hostage look in her eyes.
Hmm. Drugs, yeah.
There you go. Dave McKee, fascinating stuff today. Great work.
Thanks, guys.
Dave McKee with his views on the news can be heard on this program every single day at 6 o'clock.
Is it time to get rid of the fitties and hundreds? We'll tell you why people are opposed, at least in this country, of doing just that when the rush continues.